that he has more Maharatis like Bhishma and others. Second is his army was much bigger than that of Pandavas.
That's correct. Yeah. So it said, right, because in immeasurable strength, because we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma. So he was completely dependent on Bhishma and he knew that Bhishma's strength, right? And the second reason was like there were seven Maharathis on the Kaurava's side and also 11 Akshoyini, the groups, 11. And the Pandavas had only 7. So by the numbers itself, it's, you know, you can see, right? Mm-hmm. If you see a big number of group of people, you feel, you know, that you are going to feel. So he had that. But why Arjuna also felt that, you know, he's going to win? So why he was... Yeah. And what example we gave? Prabhupada, we shared, right? That Prabhupada says one example.
Zero sangha.
Yeah. So Prabhupada mentions that, you know, Duryodhana was on the material platform. It's all about numbers. I have this much army, you know, Narayana Sena, right? He had the big Narayana Sena. And he had Maharati. So he was counting everybody and he was counting, I have this number. So Prabhupada says he was all about numbers, like how, you know, materialistic way of thinking. If you have more number, more money, you think you are, you know, great. But in this case, Arjuna, right, when he had the first option actually, first choice to select, whether Krishna or Narayana Sena. But he picked Krishna because he knew he is the main factor, deciding factor in the war. And Prabhupada says he is like one. So whenever we add 1 in front of 0, then that's a value. Otherwise, you can have million zeros with 0 value. So that was one of the main things we discussed. And also we saw like how, like Duryodhana's, right, diplomatic nature. So first he glorified Bhishma, then this is in text 11, right? Then he requests everybody to give full support so nobody feels that, you know, they are left over. Yeah, then in text 12, the Bhishma, he doesn't even talk even after Duryodhana glorifies so much, but he doesn't even talk a single word. He starts blowing the conch shell. So to lift the spirits of all the soldiers. And also Duryodhana was a little bit nervous also when he saw the army, how nicely it was organized. So and what was the we also discussed, I think in text 14, what was one of the main or the victory sign, right? The first victory sign we saw in text 14.
Two of them. Okay, Prabhu, for you. What are the two signs of victory in text number 14?
I'm afraid you remember that. One was Krishna was on Pandava's side. And the other one was I have blown the conscious.
Agni.
Chariot.
Yeah.
Chariot is given by fire god Agni.
And also conch shell is also, it's correct,
transcendental conch shell also.
It's also victory sign.
Yeah. Yeah, actually I said only two. This one has like 3, I think. Transcendental conch shell, somebody suggested last. I think Prabha Mataji only was telling. Transcendental conch shell. So that's also one. And then these two things. Actually, this can also be separate. Like Krishna is on their side, that's one point. Other point is, because Krishna is the goddess of fortune, victory, everything is also there. So that can be two sub-points. So there can be 4 points here. All totally there are 9, I think.
What is the other one? So one is Krishna.
One is Krishna, because Krishna is there, God, his wife, goddess of fortune also will be there. So that can be added advantage.
So why is Krishna called Madhava? That's the main, right? In the text 14, it's quoted in the verse itself. So, because he's the
husband
of
the
goddess
of fortune.
Okay, so we can go to text 15. We can decide the time.
Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjaya Paundram Dadmau Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrukadara.
Amit Prabhu, can you start?
Yeah.
Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called
Panchajanya.
Arjuna blew his
Devadatta,
and Bhima the
voracious eater
and performer of
Herculean tasks
blew his terrific conch shell called Pondra. Purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Harikesha in this verse.
Rishikesha,
because he is the owner of all senses. The living entities are part and partial of him, and therefore the senses of the living entities are also part and parcel of his senses. The impersonalists cannot account for the senses of the living entities, and therefore they are always anxious to describe all living entities as
senseless
or impersonal. The Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses, but he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity, and in the case of pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. Here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjuna, and thus his particular name of
Rishikesha. Okay, we can stop here for a little bit. We'll just like bring out like important points until now and elaborate on that, and then we'll
show.
So what are some of the, so what is the definition of Rishikesha? Actually, in this purport, you will see lot of names of Krishna actually. So let's make a note of all the names of Krishna. So first name is Rishikesha. Rishikesha means?
Owner of the senses.
Owner of the senses, controller of the senses. So as he is the owner of senses, our senses are also, because they are part of coming from him, so he is owner of our senses also. So that's how do we effectively get sense control. In any yoga process, sense control is one of the primary factors, right? So what is our way of sense control?
We are surrendering to Krishna, and Krishna controls the senses of the devotee.
Yes. Or in many, in practical terms, engaging the senses in service of the owner of the senses. Then the senses will be controlled. It's like wild horses, they won't run everywhere. But if you engage them in the service of the master, then they will be controlled. So that is the practical and effective way we can control the senses. So, and then another point Prabhupada is telling about impersonalists. Impersonalists, they cannot account for the senses of the living entities. Because what is their philosophy? Somebody who knows, Kiran Prabhu or Sarvanand Prabhu, what is the philosophy of impersonalists? Sorry?
No, because you guys are attending classes for last
time. Krishna is also not a person, and they also say ultimately everything is impersonal Brahman. We are all part of that impersonal Brahman. What is Brahman? We heard from introduction. What is
consciousness? Thing that is present in everything. Both living and non-living, it's the lesser of the Lord's energies.
Yes, it's Brahman is effulgence of body of Lord, body of the Lord. It's the impersonal manifestation of the Lord. There are three ways to absolute truth. What are the three stages of attaining absolute truth?
Exactly.
No, that's why we have to refresh. Yes, exactly. So that is the Brahman feature we are referring to. Impersonal Brahman feature. Second, the Paramatma feature, which is localized Paramatma. And the Bhagavan, right? So they say that it's all impersonal Brahman. Ultimately, everything is one Brahman. We will like the concept of duality is illusion. If there is any two things, like let's say I and you, that is illusion, and that illusion eventually will go away and we will realize that we are all one, and we'll lose our identity, we'll lose, there is no individuality. So that's why it's completely contrary to principles of any spirituality. Even Krishna also says later on that never was a time I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So he stresses the individuality.
Identity.
Yeah.
Is there an example? Is there any people who follow that?
Most of them are that.
He was the one who
Advaita philosophy.
Is everyone all are same? Or
they become
whatever he said, you have to learn in detail. It's a lot of reason that he said he
yeah, actually most of the things, other than four bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas, most of them either they don't emphasize any principles at all, so that they remain in sense gratification platform, or they go to the other extreme and say, eventually I will become God. I'll merge with God. That's the same concept. Okay, so then because of that, they cannot accommodate the concept that we all have senses. Because there cannot be two things according to them. It's always only one, right? Everything is one. If so, then how can I be different and my hand can be different? So it cannot, they cannot accommodate that. That's why they cannot even practically live the life, actually. We discussed that, right? Like devotees, they take everything and use it in Krishna service. So if we want to eat nice food, we offer to Krishna and eat it, right? But an impersonalist, they say, oh, this is all Maya. Or Mayavadis, they say, this is all Maya, I'm not going to touch. So they cannot even relish that. But at the same time, they have to live in this world. So they don't know how to balance both, actually. So that's the problem. And then, next point Prabhupada is telling is that the Lord is actually...
Mataji, isn't it that they also offer food and eat?
I don't know which sect. And yeah, they also offer. But you know, ultimately, especially Mayavadis, they say that, okay, Krishna, their understanding is Krishna is the highest form of goodness in the world possible.
Yes, ma'am.
But eventually he will also basically vanish and become that one. That's what.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have to use devotion service to Krishna until we get to that pure state.
Yeah, right.
Yes. And after that, basically it's a climb the ladder, reach the stage and kick the ladder.
Yes.
So then we reach that stage using devotional service, has come to that pure stage, and then we realize that actually I and Krishna are same. So that's how, because so they also know practically we cannot do on our own unless we connect with something superior.
They emphasize first bhakti and then jnana.
Yes.
But they offer and eat.
But the problem is the conception is different, right? So based on that, actually it's more offensive than... very nice story. Actually, Radhanath Maharaj, one of our Prabhupada disciples, he tells actually, any of you might have read his book, Journey Home. It's his autobiography, how his search for absolute truth and eventually came to Hare Krishna movement, and that's where he found the real meanings or question answers to his life. So there in the journey, he was mentioning at one point, he meets one like a Baba kind of a person, very very like sadhu, very holy, saintly, and he got very attracted and started associating with him. And he is Ram Bhakta, and every time so much devotion, he tells about Ram and stories continuously about Ram. And Maharaj was like, oh, if I have to become a devotee, I have to be like this. It's a role model. So then one day suddenly he told that something happened. Maharaj asked or something happened, I don't know. Then he was suddenly saying, you know why I'm meditating on Ram so much? Because eventually that's how I'll get purified. After that I'll become Ram. So then Maharaj understood this is the most bogus philosophy anybody could have heard. What is that concept? Like there's no meaning to whatever you're doing. It's all valueless if you do like that. So then immediately Maharaj left that place and went to somewhere else. Yeah. So that's it. And it's, Maharaj was telling, it's so deceiving. Until he revealed it, he didn't know that is his conception. So seemingly it may seem like, oh, these are like perfect pure devotees or whatever. So the concept we have, or the consciousness we have and the understanding we have of this Lord, affects the result and affects the efficacy of the process also. Yeah.
So that's why we emphasize so much on Bhagavad Gita, right? The whole thing is knowledge. That's why Prabhupada emphasizes, and he named it as Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because everybody, even the Bhagavad Gita, in one discussion Prabhupada says, somebody was telling it's a discussion between doctor and a patient. Somebody was writing like that, commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. It's all, you know, it's kind of a mythology. So they were saying it may be a discussion between doctor and a patient, Bhagavad Gita. So that's why Prabhupada is very strong. He will, he lot of times in Bhagavad Gita will read purport about impersonalists, how we defeat each. Because they take the Bhagavad Gita and they, you know, it's the whole thing, this group, the meaning of it.
So the next point Prabhupada is telling is that he, Lord, is the control of the senses. But the catch is, Lord controls the senses according to the surrender of the living entity. So what does that mean?
In the case of pure devotee, he actually controls the senses.
But otherwise, like for example, can we say, is this statement true for us? Is Lord controlling our senses?
As much as you surrender.
Okay, that means?
He gives you freedom, you do whatever you want. And when you surrender to him, then he will control you, he will guide you.
Even otherwise, actually, he is also controlling, right?
Controlling.
Controlling means in the sense that he is the one who is directing the senses. See, we gave an example, right? Based on, everything is based on desire. So somebody wants to become a drunkard, right? Lord within will give direction, okay, you meet these people. These are the people who regularly go to such and such bar, and right, you meet these people, you start associating with them, then you will know what's the taste of it. You hear many times, then you say, I want to taste. If 1, 2, 3 times it doesn't work, it doesn't taste good, right? But after that, being in that Sangha, you will also get that taste. So how? Because Lord, based on that desire, he directed all these things. He allowed you to go and gave you permission, all those things, right? So there also he is directing the senses. But our surrender there is to enjoy. Right? Our surrender could be to serve the Lord, or surrender could be to I want to enjoy. Of course it's lack of surrender. So in either case, Lord is the one who is controlling. Because actually it's said that even without Lord's permission, we can't even, like, for a hand to move like this, so many things had to happen. For us it's happened so involuntarily, we don't even recognize. But so much complex mechanism has to take place. And especially the important point Prabhu is also saying that for a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. In this regard, there was one statement somebody made about Srila Prabhupada, like he was saying that based on, if we watch his, there is Abhay Charan video series of Srila Prabhupada, all his 12 years when he was traveling in US, whenever he had any exchanges, it's all videotaped, and it's with the footnote given by people who were in that pastimes, like in that incidents, who were witnessed. So they were giving context in this thing, you know, Prabhupada is going to this temple here, this is what happened, because there Prabhupada's voice is not there many times, but it's a video is there, sometimes it's there but not there. So there in that one of the things they were saying, like, actually if you watch Prabhupada, every action of his, you can feel like it's directly controlled by the Lord. Every action is full of pure devotion. Like the way he chants his beats, the way he play kartals, the way he does anything. It's like it's completely supernatural. It's like that. So that devotee was describing like that. Like as if, you know, actually Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he's in Prabhupada's right hand. So yeah. So as if, like, every moment he is, moment to moment he is surrendering to Krishna. It's like that. We can sense it in his actions, like that.
As long as I feel that I am controlling the senses, it's like, it will be like I am controlling, right? But the real thing is, the once I realize that God, the Lord is controlling the senses, then an attitude, everything changes. It's more like a service to him. So that's what I feel, that is the surrender, right? And he takes over. Then I don't feel that I am controlling it.
Right,
I
right.
contribute. We have the purusharta, we got to do the contribution. But the whole thing is the Lord doing it. So then I don't feel that I am the 100% doing it.
So for our level, it's all about, right now, it's all about consciousness. Right, so if we take, right, if you do any service, so that means actually we are engaging our senses in the service of the Lord. Actually, any service in temple a tomb, right? So if our consciousness is to please the Lord, then that means our senses are being already engaged. Yeah, so that way. So, and also, if we don't do it, for example, maybe this is a gross example, like watching TV. I'm just giving it an example. So watching a TV, like some programs, right? Which is not really a devotional kind of act. So that means you're engaging your ears, your eyes, everything. Not in the service of the Lord, but in the service of the Maya. So that means that's not a proper... anyway, that's the basic. So I'm just... It's all about... the senses also, it's all about the consciousness, what we do actually.
Prabhu, can you any hints on how to prevent things, unwanted things, like for example, reading news is there on internet. So,
that's the right question to ask, Prabhu.
Because I used to do that a lot.
Practical question.
How to decrease that to a reasonable level or to avoid it to totally?
We had for at least my, I used to read a lot, that's what I'm telling. From India only, I used to read, you know, all this BBC news and all. I was very into it. So, slowly, when I started reading Bhagavad Gita, we have a lot, actually, Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a lot of scriptures where you can spend your whole life, actually. You don't need anything. And once you know that, you know, the news, a lot of time, the news, right? It's all, I don't know, maybe there are some, well, for example, if some. Like some disaster or something happens. So you need to get to know all those things. Yeah. But lot of times it's about politics. That's all, you know, it's all a junk.
It's more like compulsory reading rather than any reading for the usefulness.
Yeah. So once you, like for me at least, when I took it into like reading scriptures, so automatically the taste for those reading news or anything, automatically it subsides. You don't, that's why you don't have to put any extra effort. But you need to take something with a higher taste.
Yeah,
like Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or just listening to kirtans or lectures, that will automatically, you know, subside, because you come to know, you know, what's higher taste.
Yeah.
Because I used to get into this politics, just to be, because of friend circle, right? And the same things they used to discuss in different angles. This news, that news, some people used to say something. So the conversation used to just go on, right? So then slowly when I understood, you know, it's politics, it never changes. It will always there. People like that, it will be always there. So is it really affecting me? Whatever is happening in India, is it really, I'm here, is it affecting? So it's not really, it doesn't really affect. Then I can give up, like, you know, you have a reason. And also all the time, you know, the scriptures helps. That was the main thing for me. And doing any service in temple. Something, that's why something higher taste, you will gradually give up the lower tendencies. I don't know whether I answered, but
that's very good answer. As soon as we will know about the higher taste,
you will give up that eventually.
This one?
Prabhupada always gives example of, you know, the kids eating mud, right? When small kids, right, they don't know the mud or anything. So only when you give them chocolate, they will never touch mud again, because they got something higher taste. So that exactly. Prabhupada very clearly says that.
Again, for this direct their senses, I didn't get fully, like direct their senses means if I'm doing good, even though God is directing my senses, if I'm doing bad, even though God is directing my senses, then
that's what, yeah,
what is the difference, like direct?
So
direct their senses.
So the direct means it's through following some other few devotees or following the scriptures. Because already all the injections, do's, don'ts, everything is in the scripture. And it's, for example, Bhagavad Gita, right? There are a lot of do's, don'ts in this one only. So that means if you follow Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita is coming directly from? Lord Krishna spoke it. So that means you're directly following his instructions. That means you're engaging your senses also in, because you're already following the instructions. So that means you're directly engaging in the senses or engaging in the services.
Yeah, and another question he was trying to ask, I think, if I recollect. So basically, you're saying some people do good things,
it's
then also
Lord
is directing senses,
yeah.
And some people do bad things, how is Lord,
yes.
Lord directing both the actions?
Yes.
So in those cases, both of them are not surrendered to the Lord. So it's not really directly controlled by the Lord in the sense of a pure devotee. Pure devotee means it's as if, like, you know, from within, Krishna is giving directions, so do this, do that. We can take it to that extent. But these people are, they are surrendered to Maya. They want to enjoy according to their wish. So Lord is directing in the sense of controlling. Like, because nothing moves without his sanction. As a Paramatma, he has to sanction certain things, right? So that sanctioning happens based on what we desire and what we deserve. So what we desire, let's say I desire to now go and kill somebody versus, okay, do I have that karma to do it? Maybe I don't have karma means I don't find an instrument. But I have that, keep the desire for some years, eventually it becomes so strong that I get an instrument to do it. So in that, so for those cases, Bhagavan doesn't interfere directly. It's Paramatma who acts neutrally. Paramatma is there in all of us. He acts neutrally. Based on whatever we desire, he is going to sanction that based on, of course, what we deserve also. So in that sense, he is controlling, controlling them rather than directing them. Like in the sense of nothing moves without the will of the Lord, in that sense. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the living entity is responsible for his deeds. So this is what causes confusion. Like some people who completely buy into this argument, they say, oh, God is doing everything actually. You know, my God told me to lift my hand, poke the knife into this other person's body. I really didn't do anything. I can quote verse in Bhagavad Gita to say that, right? So, but Krishna says, the especially material world, everything is the infrastructure created. There are certain rules and laws, everything is there. And there are certain codes of conduct we are expected to follow. If we don't follow that, then we are responsible for those things. It's not God to be blamed because he created all the things for us. So knife can be used as a surgery for something beneficial or can be used to kill somebody. So whose blame is it? Somebody created the knife? Or somebody put it in the kitchen? Or somebody who's misusing it? So it's like that.
So bad thing, we do bad things when our desire gets stronger than the direction of the God, I guess. So God is trying to direct you, within. But you are not able
actually
to hear,
exactly.
Just because your desire to do something stronger,
exactly.
That you avoid his voice.
That's correct. That's why even in a spiritual journey, like, so we can say some people who have approached the spiritual life are, we can say they are more favorably inclined, right? They are ready to listen to what God is saying. Like all of us, we want to hear what he is saying, we want to follow. Even us, we have to take an external manifestation of the Lord, which is a spiritual master, as a guide. Because we may make up so many things what Lord is saying from within, right? Who is the one to confirm? So from externally, that person is representative of a super soul. He will say, this is what you need to do. Then we cannot avoid. We cannot, as Mataji is saying, like we have been, let's say, putting it into silent all the time, the voice of the Lord, right? But now we cannot avoid it. Directly in front of us, somebody says, you have to do this. How can we ignore?
Exactly.
Right? That's the reason it's needed. Spiritual master is needed in spiritual life. Okay, we'll proceed.
The Lord has different names according to his different activities. For example, his name is Madhusudana because he killed the demon of the name Madhu. His name is Govinda because he gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. His name is Vasudeva because he appeared as the son of Vasudeva. His name is Devaki Nandan because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Yashoda Nandan because he awarded his childhood pastimes to Yashoda at Vrindavana. His name is Partha Sarathi because he worked as charioteer of his friend Arjuna. Similarly, his name is Rishikesha because he gave direction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
Okay, so there are so many names, right? So let's list one by one. So what does Madhusudana mean?
Killer
of demon Madhu. Next one is Govinda. Wonder of senses also. Here, what is it saying? Pleasure giver to?
Gives
pleasure to cows and senses. And Vasudeva?
Son of Vasudeva.
And Yashoda Nandana?
Son of
Yashoda. And Partha Sarathi?
Charity.
Devaki Nandana?
Devaki's son.
Rishikesha, we heard this.
Madhaji, can you very briefly tell the story of killing Madhu?
Oh, I don't know. I have to look it up. Yeah, it should be in Krishna's book. I don't remember. We have to prepare and come to the class. We don't remember.
Actually, I don't think I heard the story.
Oh.
It's not in Bhagavatam.
Is
or
it?
Bhagavatam.
Oh.
The only story I know is from Devi Bhagavatam, so I was wondering what would you say.
Okay, okay. We will mostly it should be there in Krishna book or okay. Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's check.
In Krishna book, I remember reading, but I don't recall now.
Okay, so see here the language is so beautiful. How the Prabhupada is wording, his name is Devaki Nandana because he accepted Devaki as his mother, right? He didn't say because he is Devaki's son. Actually, I was reading 21st, hopefully we'll come to that verse today, but 21st and 22nd verse I was reading, there actually Arjuna says, finally Arjuna starts speaking, first time he's talking to Krishna, because Krishna is a charioteer, right? So first time Arjuna is telling, oh, Achyuta, infallible one, Achyuta, another name, please take this horse, this chariot in between the two armies. I want to see the both armies who are ready to come to fight with me. So there, Prabhupada writes a purport saying, like, now he's a servant. Arjuna is a servant, actually. And Krishna is acting like a charioteer, his servant. And Arjuna is dictating Krishna, the Supreme Lord, to direct the horses in between the two armies. While explaining how Lord relishes such a relationship, almost like 4 or 5 times, Prabhupada says, still he remains a Supreme Lord. Still he remains a Supreme Lord.
Anybody has a Ford van, 814 URG, which is overparked.
Ford van.
Ford
Thank
van.
You.
Okay. So 4 times he says, okay, Lord is in this position, but at the same time, his supreme position is not compromised. He's not... We cannot think that he's an ordinary person or he's really a servant. So many times, you know, that's the wonder of reading Prabhupada's purport. We can never miss the point. Otherwise, after some time, we think that Arjuna is greater than Krishna. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
So he again and again emphasizes, this is the real position. But he also gives the inner mood of the Lord. Like, but still, Lord likes to be... chastised by his own devotee. Lord likes to be, like, let's say, threatened by his devotee, like Yashoda Mai, how she ran with a stick, right? Then Lord really relishes that pastime. So that's what pure devotee brings out in the
for
purport.
The same context, he don't even had a time to talk, he was just kicking left, right, and left,
right. Right, right. Yes. That's correct. Our Lord is merciful. Okay, so we can go continue with the
topic. Arjuna is referred to as
Dhananjaya
in this verse because he helped his elder brother in fetching wealth when it was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices. Similarly, Bhima is known as
Vrukodara
because he could eat as voraciously as he could perform Herculean tasks such as killing the demon
Hidimba.
So the particular types of conch shell blown by the different personalities on the side of the Pandavas, beginning with the lords, were all very encouraging to the fighting soldiers. On the other side, there were no such credits nor the presence of Lord Krishna, the supreme director, nor that of the goddess of fortune. So they were predestined to lose the battle, and that was the message announced by the sounds of the conch shells.
Okay, so now here there are names for other. Arjuna is also referred as Dhananjaya. So Dhananjaya means one who conquers the wealth. Dana is like wealth, and Jaya means a person who conquers the wealth. And this was when Yadhishthira Maharaj wants to ascend the throne, then they had to do the sacrifice in order to establish his supremacy. So they send the horse to every country, and whoever accepts the supremacy, they let the horse go, right? Otherwise, they have to keep the horse, and there's a war to prove the thing. So there, no, that's Ashwamedha, right? Rajasuya is different, is it? Oh, sorry. Okay. Rajasuya Yagna, at least what it's given here is that you have to acquire, it requires a lot of wealth for the performance of the sacrifice. Yeah, later on he goes, then Arjuna, on the instruction of Pandavas, he Yudhishthira Maharaj, he goes to different places to collect a lot of money. So even he, then he goes almost to the heavenly planets, then somebody said you cannot enter here. Then, no, I need to help my brother, I need to take the wealth. Then he said, no, you cannot violate the laws of nature, you cannot enter. Then finally they said, okay, there is a lot of gold which the brahmanas, they just threw away because there was too much for them to use. So you can take. So that was the culture. So then that's how he got like a lot of wealth for the sacrifice.
So the olden times, right? So the kings are supposed to give charities, and the brahmanas, you know, they... charities to brahmanas, that was the culture, and the brahmanas used to collect, and they also used to give out in charities for others. So one time, you know, because everybody was so pious, so kings used to give lot because they had a lot of wealth. It was everything was prosperous, right? So the brahmanas collected so much, and after that they decided, you know, they cannot handle. And also for brahmanas, the wealth is, it can distract them, right? For brahmanas, what's the qualities of brahmanas are known for? What are brahmanas are known for?
Charity.
Yeah. So basically their wealth, what's their real wealth? Brahmanas'
knowledge.
Real wealth.
Devotion.
Yeah, no, it's correct. All of these correct. So the main things was the poverty. They used to live like, you know, poverty. We know about Dronacharya, right? He didn't add anything to feed his own son. So their real wealth is poverty and
knowledge.
The knowledge, right? All the knowledge, and also there is another point Prabhupada was telling.
Austerity.
Because they perform austerities, like all the yajnas, all those things. So that's there. So the wealth is kind of a destructible. If they collect wealth, it can destruct, cause destruction. So that's the reason they went to all the Himalayas, like, you know, they used to do austerity, so they dumped all the wealth. Then when Arjuna was conquering, right, everybody for this yajna, he wanted money to help Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he was going, right? So then when he was trying to go to the next realm of the material nature, so that's where they stopped him. You know, you cannot cross beyond this. And they told, there is a lot of wealth here, like in the Himalayas they have dumped, you can use that. So then Arjuna got that wealth and he gave it to Yudhishthira Maharaj, so he can perform the Rajasuya yajna. So that's why he is called Dhananjaya, who got the wealth, who went and got the wealth.
And Bhima is called Vrukodhara. So Vrukodhara means? He eats voraciously. It's as if like his hunger is like so insatiable. So he eats so much. At the same time, Prabhupada says, he eats so much, at the same time he also does Bhima Karma.
Bhima
Karma means Herculean tasks, like impossible tasks. So Prabhupada said, not just eating, we have to also show it in the service. That's for our application for all of us.
And in one of the lectures, you know how much, this is just for, you know, to make it a little bit more lively, this thing. So if we have like Bhima, you know how much percentage of food he used to take? There are 5 Pandavas, Kunti, Draupadi, right? So 7 of them, family. You know how much percentage of food he used to take? Whenever something, you know, somebody used to give, you know how much he used to take?
Yes. Yeah.
So his percent was 50%. He used to take 50%. So the rest, 6 or whatever, they used to share that. So that was his, this thing. And also... very nice thing about, you know, Ekadashis, right? We do Ekadashis. So all the other Pandavas, everybody used to do, but the Bhima, he was, because always the fire of, you know, that hunger used to, you know, always burn. So he couldn't do the regular fasting. Then he went to Vyasadeva and he told, I'm not able to do the Ekadashis. Then he told, you know, if you don't do Ekadashis, you know, you may go to hell. That's what Vyasadeva told. Then he told, no, please help me, I cannot do. Every, you know, alternate weeks I cannot do. So give me some option. Then he told, which Ekadashi is that? One day we can
Bishma
do that.
Bishma Panchakekadashi.
Nirjala. Bishma. No. Nirjal? Bhima Nirjal Ekadashi. That's called Nirjal Ekadashi. We did, I think, maybe couple of months back.
May.
Right? Yeah, May. So that's called Nirjal Ekadashi. So one day, you know, Bhima could stay without even drinking water. So that's good for him. So that's why Vyasadev, he told, you know, you do it on that day. That's good for you.
And that gives the results of all the Ekadashis throughout the year. So that way he gets the merit also.
But that's not for all of us. We cannot say the same thing.
We have to do that also along with regular Ekadashi.
We cannot take that.
Okay. And then all these conchs have names, right? So actually Krishna's conchal, Panchajanya also, there is a story. You want to discuss that? Or?
Yeah, we can tell short one.
Okay, Panchajanya, how Krishna acquires this conch shell called Panchajanya. So Krishna and Balram, they went to at a certain age where they have to study. So then they go to their spiritual master's ashram. Who is spiritual master Krishna Balram? Sandipani Muni. Yeah, so they go to Sandipani Muni's ashram along with all the other students, and they were very excellent in learning the, obviously they know everything already, right? Supreme Lords. But still they learn from the teacher, and it seems like all they have, the way they learn is they sit and hear. That's how they used to learn, that's all. And immediately they used to know, and the teacher was very impressed, and they learned everything one art in one day like that. And then the time came, all the studies were finished, they were ready to leave. Then they asked the teacher, saying, okay, we want to give you Guru Dakshina. Can we do something? Can you tell us what we have to do? Then Sandipani Muni consulted his wife, and then she told, like, we lost our child once in the ocean. They were drowned in the ocean. So can you please go, and if possible, you are Supreme Lord, you know everything, anything is possible for you, can you bring? So then Lord and Krishna Balaram, they go to this, I don't know the
Prabhas
name, Prabhashetra. Yeah.
It's near Dwaraka.
Near Dwaraka, Prabhashetra, near that the bank of the ocean. And they summon the Lord of the ocean to come. Then Varunadev comes and says, oh Lord, what can I do? Then he says, okay, can you return the son of my spiritual master? Then, no, actually I didn't keep it. There is a demon in this ocean called Panchajana. He's the one who took away your son. So, it's not even in my control. Then Krishna Balaram immediately jumps into the water, and then they go. And this demon is taken a form of an animal within the conch shell. Conch shell is like a body of, like a shell on top of him. So that shell is possessed by this Panchajana, right? So that's why it's Panchajanya. That's the Panchajanya. So then anyway, they have a fight there. And after that, Krishna takes that shell for himself, the conch shell. So that is Panchajanya. And still we couldn't find the child there. Then they go to Yamaraj, actually, the whole place. Actually, if you notice, today only I was seeing.
Yeah,
today's
calendar.
BBT
calendar,
yeah. That's the past time.
Yeah. Yes.
Krishna and Balaram, they go to that place, and Krishna blows his conch shell very loudly. Yamaraj along with his servants, they come. Oh Lord, how can we serve you? Then he says, please return. Then, I think
return
that time he returns.
Yeah,
it is in the month of July, the photograph is that.
Yes.
Yeah, in the calendar.
Which place are we talking about?
There is a picture where
when
Krishna,
I saw first
Krishna
I was thinking
is blowing the punch.
Where, when this happened and
yeah,
why
yeah,
this happened.
Ah, okay. So nice. Yeah.
So it's a very beautiful pastime.
Yeah. So that's a Panchajanya means one who possesses the conch shell, Panchajanya.
And the Prabhupada says that, you know, like how Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, all they came, right? They're Jaya and Vijaya in spiritual world. So same thing like this also, Panchajana was a devotee in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So because of something, you know, he had to come down to the material world and he has to take the form of the conch shell. So then the Lord, he fought with him, he killed him, and he made that shell as his own personal paraphernalia. So Lord, all the time, he carries that Panchajanya conch shell. So that's the one he blow here.
Mm-hmm.
And also Arjuna here, it says, his conch shell name is Devadatta.
Mm.
So Devadatta means the one which is given by the demigods, or in the heavenly planets they gave. So that also, like a short story we can say, like, you know, when they were in exile, right, the Pandavas were in exile, so Vyasadeva came, like he was visiting them. So he told, you know, I'm going to give some mantras. So using that mantras, he can, anybody can go to heavenly planets and get the celestial weapons from the demigods. So that way, you know, the so he gave it to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then Arjuna came back. He gave the mantra to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Gave that mantras to Arjuna, and he told, "You go now and collect all the celestial weapons." Then Arjuna, you know, started traveling through, you know, Himalayas, that Meru mountain, everything. So it goes. It said that, you know, the higher they go, they were. He was going to different heavenly planets, realm, different. So there, then one rishi stopped him, saying, "You know, you looks like you are a human being, so you cannot cross beyond this point. It's only for heavenly people." Then Arjuna told, no, I need to help my brother. We are going through a lot of injustice, so I need to, you know, get some weapons from Indra, so for the war." So then he was so determined, right? He was telling that rishi. Then that rishi told, "Okay, I'm very satisfied with your determination that you want to, you know, help your brother." And he took his form, real form. He was the Indra. The rishi was Indra, so he took his real form. Then he told, "Okay, first you go take permission from Lord Shiva. Then you come to my planet, like, you know, Indraloka. Then I will teach you all the mantras to use the celestial weapons." Then that's the time when Arjuna goes and meets. He doesn't meet. So what happens is, from there, so he'll be going to meet Lord Shiva. Then he sees a hunter on the way, right? He sees a hunter. So then also he sees a boar. Boar is a, you know, the wild pig, actually. It's dangerous than a pig, actually, boar. So he sees that pig. Then that boar, it starts attacking Arjuna. Then Arjuna says, "I didn't even lift my weapon, so I should kill it because he's Kshatriya. So he cannot, you know, just stay." He told, "Because it's attacking me, I have to kill." So then Arjuna takes a arrow and he shoots. Same time, that hunter also, he shoots arrow. So same time, it pierces and it kills the boar. Then Arjuna goes, he says, "You know, this is my share, I killed." Then hunter says, no, "I killed first, it's mine." So then they start fighting. Then Arjuna, you know, start shooting whatever weapons he had, everything, right? Before he had got some blessings, right, boons from different devas. I think during Agni or
chariot,
when he got the chariot, he also got different weapons. Where it said that, you know, the arrows, so as much as he can shoot, it never perishes. It will always there. Then he keeps shooting. Then somehow the arrows gets over, that it cannot replenish. It gets over. Then he says, "How can the devata's words can get, you know, the this thing without effect?" Then he starts hitting with sword and all. But the other hunter also, he keeps fighting. Anything he eats, it breaks or something. Then finally he starts, you know, also punching. Finally that's the end, right? He starts punching also. Then the hunter, he just hits him one punch. He falls almost unconscious. Arjuna falls unconscious. Then because he was going to meet Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva. So then he offers flowers just to, you know. Then that flower he offers here, it falls over there also, hunter near the hunter. Then he realizes that was Lord Shiva who took the form of a hunter. Then he goes and, you know, begs forgiveness and, you know, he praises Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva gives him Pashupati Astra, the weapon. That's the time he gets Pashupati. Then all the demigods, they come and they, you know, they put flowers. You know, you had a very good, you know, fight battle with Lord Shiva and all. Then Indra comes and he takes Arjuna to the Indraloka. So then there, you know, he stays for, it is said that he stays for 4 earthly years. So there it was short time in heavenly planet, but 4 earthly years. Then all the devatas, they come and they give different weapons, everything. So before he left that place, they give him the conch shell to blow. So that name is Devadatta, the conch shell given by devas. That's why it's called Devadatta.
Okay, text number 16 to 18. अनंत विजयम् राजा
कुंती पुत्रो युधिष्ठिरः नकुला सहदेवश्च सुघोषो मणिपुष्पकौ काश्यश्च परमेश्वरश्च शिखण्डी च महारथः दृष्टद्युम्नो विराटश्च सात्यकीश्च पराजिता द्रुपदो द्रौपदेयश्च सर्वशः पृथिवीपते
King Yudhishthira, King Yudhishthira, the son of Kunti, blew his conch shell, the Anant Vijay, and Nakula and Sahadev blew Sugosh and Mani Pushpak. That great archer, the king of Kashi, the great fighter Shikhandi, Drishtadyumna, Virat, and
unconquerable
Satyaki, Drupada, the son of Draupadi, and others, O king, such as mighty armed son of Subhadra, all blew their respective conch shells. Sanjay informed King Dhritarashtra very tactfully that the unwise policy of deceiving the sons of Pandu and endeavoring to unthrone his own sons of the seat of the kingdom was not very laudable. The signs already clearly indicated that the whole Kuru dynasty would be killed in that great battle, beginning with the grandsire Bhishma, down to the grandsons like Abhimanyu and others, including kings from many states of the world. All were present there, and all were doomed. The whole catastrophe was due to King Dhritarashtra because he encouraged the policy followed by his sons.
So some of the points about these personalities, right? So everybody, all the Pandavas also have the names for the conch shells, right? Ananta Vijaya, Sugosha, Mani Pushpaka. So we know a little bit about Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Nakula is known for his beauty. And Sahadeva is known for his wisdom. So during Rajashri Yajna, when they were telling who should be the chief person for the Yajna, that's when Sahadeva says that, okay, it should be Krishna. Then everybody agrees, yes, it should be Krishna, but oh, except one person, who is that?
Shishupal.
Yeah, Shishupal only says, and then he starts blaspheming the Lord like anything, and Lord gave him the sum, this 100, thing, Prabhu, right? 100.
99.
Yeah.
99.
Yeah.
100,
if he crosses 100, yeah, he'll, then Lord was patiently waiting while he does all this, and he ran over his budget. That's why he sent his Sudarshan Chakra, and he's finished, and his soul enters into Krishna's body.
It said that even he was the youngest one, Sahadev, but he was the wisest among the Pandavas.
And Kashi Raja, I don't know much. Shikhandi, we know, right? Amba, Ambika, Ambalika, these three were there. And then, I don't know what context Bhishma gets them, but after that...
For the marriage of... Vichitravira.
So he
kidnaps them?
Bhishma kidnaps.
No,
all three of them.
And but then he rejects, and then one of them was supposed to marry.
The eldest says that I'm already engaged. You cannot.
Actually, she says, you know, I don't want to get married to Vichitravira.
Yeah.
I want to get married to Shalva, the Yadu, one of the Yadu. And then she says, Vichitravira says, because you already touched by Bhishma. So then she, Amba, goes back to Bhishma Dev.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, you marry me. Then Bhishma says, I've already taken a vow. I cannot marry now. Right? So then she goes and complains to
Parashuram,
who's Guru. Then they start fighting, and that fight never ends. Then Parashuram says that, you know, even I cannot help you. Then she does a lot of austerities, and she leaves her body. Then the next, she will be the cause of Bhishma's death.
So next life, he is born as a son of sister.
No, daughter.
Daughter of
Drupada.
Another, basically, sister of Draupadi. One more sister. And later on, he does with lot of, again, blessings, converts into a man. So
she becomes
like, he becomes he, and then Arjuna uses Shikhandi, becomes Shikhandi. Arjuna uses Shikhandi in front of Bhishma. But Bhishma recognizes him as her. So he says, I cannot fight a woman, and he drops a weapon, and Krishna says, okay, now you shoot. So that's how they conquer Bhishma. So that's how she became the cause for Bhishma's death. As she took the... That's why everything took place together, no? Like, all somebody's promises, somebody's woes, everything comes together. And Drishtadyumna, we heard about him, right? And Virata also, that's where they stayed in the last year in incognito. And Satyaki Prabhu also asked last time. I didn't get enough details about him yet. He is Yadu, one of the Yadus.
Isn't he Krishna's charioteer?
Yeah, it's a Krishna's charioteer. Yeah, that's what I heard. But he came, but Krishna says none of his army will be on his side, right?
Yes.
But he seems like he alone came here.
Isn't that an army? Maybe he's just
a okay, I don't know.
No, but before the, just before the war, you know, both the army, all the leads they met, and then they gave the final opportunity for everyone to take your positions. If you want to switch, you can switch, or if you want to be where you are. I think that's where.
Maybe, I heard something, yeah.
That happened, I remember seeing Mahabharata.
Oh, okay, I don't know, I didn't hear.
Yeah.
What did he do, switch sides?
Yeah.
They
he was the only
side.
One who switched sides.
I think, yeah. Because the entire Narayan Sena was with...
Okay. Then Drupada we know, and sons of Draupadi and others, and mighty son of Subhadra. Who is mighty son of Subhadra?
Abhimanyu.
They all blew their conch shells. So then Prabhupada was telling in the purport, main point is the whole catastrophe was due to King Dhritarashtra, who encouraged the policy followed by sons. We described that earlier. He was portrayed as a very innocent person, you know, pitiable and all those things, but actually he is the main gang leader among all this. So he's the one to be blamed. Okay, we can go to the next verse.
सुशोद्रातराष्ट्रानां हृदयानि विदराय नवश्चा पृथिवीं चैव तुमुलोऽप्यानुनादयम्.
The blowing of these different conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. When Bhishma and the others on the side of Duryodhana blew their respective conch shells, there was no heartbreaking on the part of the Pandavas. Such occurrences are not mentioned, but in this particular verse it is mentioned that the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra were shattered by the sounds vibrated by the Pandavas' party. This is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of greatest calamity.
So what is the significant point Srila Prabhupada is telling here?
Previously they mentioned when these guys blew their conch shells, these guys are not threatened by it, whereas when all these guys started
blowing, what are these guys only? We don't know.
When the Duryodhanites blew their conch shell, Pandavas were not affected. When Krishna and his men started blowing the conch shells, then these guys were the Duryodhanites were shattered.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
No,
And also the last two points,
yeah,
that's a very important, right? This is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord. One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity. So I think it practically, right, even if we follow Dharma or the laws or the scriptural, whatever the injunctions we have given, so we can also feel confident. But if we don't follow, then always we are in anxiety.
Mm.
So what's the good example you can think of? Like just a practical, general, very practical example. What practical example you
I
can
know.
Think of?
I know what
for what?
Yeah. No, if you follow something like for rules and regulations, scriptures,
yeah,
you will be always lot of, you will have a lot of confidence and you will always feel protected because you're following Dharma. But if you don't follow, like as here, adharma, right? If you go towards adharma, then you are always anxious and you will feel insecure. So what you can think of? This is very, I'm just expecting something, you know, very common.
If you drive, for example. If you
traffic.
Limit.
If suppose some flash came, then sir, you cross, you don't even know, you don't even see there's a camera. You keep thinking, camera caught.
No, even in freeways, right? So if you are driving, the city or the state has set a speed limit 65.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure if you go 65 below, you'll never bother. We were police passes by, you'll never think. But if you're crossing, even going 5 miles above it, your mind always thinks.
Mm-hmm.
If you see some car in the back or here, you'll always anxious. So same thing applies here. So when we have that real confidence, you know, or the service attitude, then we know that we are following the scriptures and Lord will protect. Either case, Lord is going to protect us. Nothing can happen. But when we don't do, we come under the modes. And modes is, that takes its own, you know, the way. We nobody can mess up with laws.
So what is the term? Sorry, Prabhu.
No, this reminds me of a Kabir Doha, right? No, Jako Rakai Sayam Mari Sakai Na Koi Balna Banka Kari Sakai Jojan Bairi. So, you know, no matter who it is, if he is with you, you can go.
Actually, it's I don't know which words. It said that, you know, if the Lord wants to kill you,
Rake
Krishna Mare Ke,
Mare Krishna Rake
Ke. So, if Lord wants to kill you, nobody can protect you. It will happen. But if he wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. Either way, so that's how it is.
This is a verse in
Bhagavad
Gita?
No.
Maybe not Bhagavad Gita. I don't know which. Maybe it's a saying Prabhupada used to say all the time. I don't know which verse.
And what is the term for one who has taken shelter of the Lord? And that's why he is not afraid of any calamity. It's called Abhay Charan. Fearless, Abhay Charan. Abhay means fearless, right? Because of having take shelter of the Lord. Charan, right? Abhay Charan means a person who is fearless because of having taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And that is actually Prabhupada's name. Abhay Charan Gormahande. Gormahande is his father. Abhay Charan is his original name. After that, it became. So that's.
We can stop, we can discuss paper.
Yeah.
Because
they and see, another example of being fearless devotee, who is a very prominent example, Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah. See, he exhibited also such a fearlessness despite so many calamities and such a strong faith in the Lord.
Next exam, I will sit next to
you. For one.
Okay.
Stop.
Yeah.
We'll discuss.